God, all the omnis, omnipotent, omniscient, all these things, he's perfect in all ways. What does it mean for a human being to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But before we get to that main point, I want to do two other smaller points. The first is, everybody knows that the source for benching Min HaTorah is the pasuk in our parsha of Yochalta v'savata v'rachtas Hashem Elokecha. There's no question about it. There's no machlokas. That's the source for the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon. Similarly, everybody knows that Birkat HaMazon is really the only mitzvah Min HaTorah. Every single mitzvah that we make is midrabanan. There is a machlokas with respect to Birkas HaTorah, but undeniably, everybody agrees that benching is the only bracha that we make that's Min HaTorah, meaning there's no act associated with it. You bench, and the benching is the mitzvah. Okay? But what we're going to see is, it's not simple at all in the Pesukim. It's one of these great examples, and we're so sure what the Pesuk means, because we know the Gemara, that we've stopped reading the Pesukim. That's another point. And the third is just trying to figure out exactly what is the mitzvah of benching. Do you have to say all three brachos, right? Can you do shorter? What was the text that Bnei Yisrael said in the Midbar? Those are the points we want to discuss. But let's start with the first one. The first one is how, despite how sure we are, and again, it's true, that this week's parsha contains a source for the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon, when you look in the pasuk, it's kind of hard to find it. Let's start. Okay? The pasuk says as follows in this week's parsha. And you have to read it in context. Ki Hashem Elokecha mevi'acha al eretz tova. Right? God is bringing you, Moshe speaking to Bnei Yisrael, God is bringing us to a very lovely, wonderful land. Eretz nachalei mayim ayonotu tehomot yotzi'im babikaru v'har. Right? A land of springs and cisterns and water sources, hills and valleys, gets nicer. Eretz chita u'seora, right? The Zayin Minim, v'gefen u'teina v'rimon. Eretz zeit shemen u'dvash. It has all these beautiful things. Not only that. Eretz asher lo b'miskenu tochal balechem. A land in which it won't be difficult for you to eat bread. Lo techsar kolba. Nothing is missing from this land. Eretz asher avonel barzel me'ara tachzov nechoshes. It has great boulders, whatever. You could quarry from it. It's the greatest place ever. And here's our pasuk. V'yachalta v'savata. You will eat. You will be satiated. Uveirachta es Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz hatova asher natan lach. And you will bless God, I guess, on the land, the good land that he gave you. Okay, so if you just read it in context, what does it have to do with benching? In fact, where's the mitzvah? Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, here's what's going to happen in the future, right? You're going to inherit this incredible land. And on the land, you're going to eat. You're going to be satiated. And you'll bless God. I think the simplest reading is, there's no mitzvah of the achalta. It's not an imperative. The savata, you're obligated to be satiated. Uveirachta doesn't read as an imperative. It reads as a prediction, a nevuah, good advice. That's the first thing. The second thing is, in the context, it's hard not to think of, you know, we all want to think of some crazy insight that nobody's ever had in the history of the world. Here's one that's wrong, lahalacha, but it's a pretty good insight to have. And that is, hey, shouldn't this, whatever's going on in the Torah, in the pasuk here, if this is the source for benching, you know where it should apply and only where? In the land of Israel. Right? In the context, you'll be in the land of Israel and you'll bless God for what? Ha'aretz ha'tovah shanasamach. Why isn't it the case that benching is a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz? The answer is it's not. It's obviously not. That's not the halacha. But in the context of the psukim, and in the context of the psukim, it sounds like whatever's going on in Pasuk Yud would be something we would do anyway. But for whatever reason, now God has commanded us. So it sounds like everything I'm saying is crazy, but having prepared, I know that it's the Ramban. In source number two, the Ramban says, Va'amar, v'achalta v'savata uve'erachtas Hashem alokecha. So the Ramban says as follows, in the context of the Psukim, what does it mean? Ki tizkar avodat mitzrayim v'inui hamidbar. The Ramban says, when you recall how horrible life was in Egypt, and when you recall the inui hamidbar, interestingly, inui hamidbar here refers to the man. In this week's Parsha in particular, a theme that runs through the Parsha is the test or the affliction that the man represented in the Midbar. Again, the man versus the bread that we're eating now in the land of Israel. What was the affliction? What was the test of the man? So Chazal said, it's really true. On the one hand, we say to ourselves, wow, you get up in the morning, you go gather food, you never have to go to work. What could be better than that? The answer is that every night when you go to sleep, your pantry is empty, your refrigerator is empty, and if a miracle doesn't happen in the morning, your family is going to starve. That's a hard way to live. So now we've moved beyond that. There was an Isser d'oraisa to leave man over for the next day. Lo totiru mimenu ad haboker. But now we've moved beyond that. And now we make our own bread. And we have our own land. V'ka'asher tochal v'tispa ba'aretz ha'tova tivarei chala et Hashem. Says the Rabban, it's just a prediction. When you eat of your own crops in the land of Israel, you're going to go, wow. We're no longer in Egypt. We're no longer in the desert. Now we make our own food. And we make our own food in the greatest place in the world. And therefore, we kind of spontaneously bless God. Now, the Ramban doesn't know about benching. Of course he does. He says, V'rabotenu kiblu shezo mitzvah taseh. No, of course, in Chazal, this is a mitzvah taseh. V'ta'amo, and watch what he does. The Ramban says, U'tivarech et Hashem alokecha al ha'aretz ha'tavah shenasan lach. But there's no such pasuk. The Ramban changes the grammar. The pasuk says, "Va'achalta v'savata uvei rachta Hashem Elokecha." Says the Ramban in Chazal, it's not uvei rachta, it's utivarech, an imperative. And here the Ramban points out, it turns out there are many mitzvahs in the Torah in which the verb or the commandment could be read as a command, as an imperative, or could be read as a description. The Ramban says, V'chein, it says in the pasuk, V'asita ma'akel gagecha, which could be understood as telling us a story. If you have a roof that people walk around on and it's high off the ground, and you happen to make a guardrail, says the Ramban, no. V'asita there doesn't mean you happen to make a guardrail. It's an imperative. Similarly, V'chein, V'asita pesach la'shem alokecha, V'lachachta merishit kalpri adama, etc., etc. Says the Ramban, it's just interesting, that oftentimes you read a pasuk, it could be read in one of two ways. It could be read either as descriptive or as an imperative. And you have to look in Chazal to tell you. Many of the most famous machlokasim about whether something's a mitzvah or not revolve around simply how you read a word, right? Is the word a command or is the word a description? Okay? Now the Ramban continues and he says, V'ta'am al ha'aretz ha'tova. What does it mean? On the land, that's where you thank God. He says, no. Kimo ve'al ha'aretz ha'tova. He changes the words again, and he says, it's not that you bench only in Israel. It's that you bench wherever you're benching, even if it's in chutz la'aretz. Part of the idea of benching is to thank God for the land that he gave us. Yitzaveh, we're commanded, she'tivarcheu b'chol eis, Shetisba al hasova vi al haoretz shenatan lach. Whenever we're satiated, that's a time for us to thank God for the land. Shiyan chilana lechala olamim v'tisba mituva, that God will give it to us, and one day we will benefit from it. And now he says, v'hinei chiyuv hamitzvah hazot b'chol makom. I think the Ramban thought the way we did. I say we, I mean me, that maybe benching is only in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe it's a mitzvah tliyo ba'aretz. Says the Ramban, it's not. Okay? But at least he had that hava amina. So you see here, as fascinating thing, idea, which you see in many places, and that is, there's the simple pshat in the pasuk, there's the drasha of Chazal, which in this case is not only a drasha of Chazal, it's Alach Lemosh Misinai, that despite the pshuto shel mikra, this pasuk is the source for the mitzvah d'oraisa of benching. Then you have kind of this interesting question of, well, if it's natural for us to do it, why would God have commanded us to do it? And this is something we're not going to deal with now, but it comes up all the time, right? If God wants us to be charitable, He really wants us to be charitable, then why did He make it a mitzvah to give tzedakah? If God wants us to be respectful of elders or of our parents, why did He make it a mitzvah? Why did He ruin the fun? Okay, that's a topic for a different time, but all of that is in the Ramban. Okay, so that's the first issue we want to deal with. The second issue we want to deal with is to get to some kind of halachic understanding of the fundamentals of benching. So to do that, let's go to the Rambam in source number 3. The Rambam in Hilchos Brachos starts with benching for the simple reason that the Rambam has to start with a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's how he always starts. Since the only bracha in the Rambam that's d'oraisa is benching, so of course he starts as follows. Hilchos Brachos, Aleph Aleph, mitzvat aseh min ha-Torah levarech achar achilat mazon. Right? It's the Torah commandment to be mevarech, let's just say to bench, after eating. Shenemar ar pasuk v'achalta v'savata uveirachta es Hashem Elokecha. Okay? And then the Rambam says, ve'eino chayav min ha-Torah ela imkein sava. The chiyuv de'oraisa is only if we were satiated. Shenemar v'achalta v'savata. It's a pasuk, right? It's a word. You have to be satiated uveirachta. Now, if that were the din, you know, it would lead to all kinds of situations where you go, well, am I really full? Maybe I should have to eat more. It's really the case that halacha abhors a vacuum. Halacha doesn't want us to have to make our own decision. So therefore, umidivrei sofrim midrabanan achala filu kizayis mivarech acharav. If you ate a kizayis, you don't have to ask yourself, could I eat more? Am I completely full? The din is, if you ate a kizayis, you have to bench. Okay, halacha lemaisa, this still is a very interesting situation. Because a person who ate a kizayis, but is not full, only benches midrabanan. A person who ate and is full, benches d'oraisa. So presumably, the drabanan person could not be motzi, the d'oraisa person, because they're two different levels of chiyuv. Okay, for the most part, we'll come back to this point. I would submit that it's pretty rare for any one of us to bench without being satiated because we're spoiled. And if we were still hungry, we would take another piece of bread or another hamburger, you know, or another brownie. So it's rare that that really happens. But I suppose there was a time where that happened regularly. Now, interestingly, the Rambam says, okay, we have one mitzvah, one bracha, that's d'oraisa, and he continues. Halacha bet, umidivrei sofrim livarech al kol ma'achal tchila. Midrabanan, there's such a thing called bracha rishona. Va'achar kach yehene mimenu. Now, it's strange that benching should be the source, because benching is obviously a bracha achrona, where we think of a bracha rishona in the Gemara, and we'll come to this in a second, as being permission, right? I ask God for permission, then I eat an apple. So the Rambam thinks that they're connected, even though they're kind of opposite. Okay? Now, what about the shear? Is there a minimum amount that I have to eat in order to make a bracha rishona? The answer is no. Says the Rambam, Vafilu niskaving leechol o lishtos kol shehu. Even if you're just going to take a sip, or you're just going to have a tiny piece of an apple, mivarech va'achar kach yehaneh. Why? Because the chiyuv of bracha rishona is hana'a. It's benefit. It's pleasure. It's not eating or drinking. And so therefore, right, in almost every case, if you're going to eat or drink something, you have to make a bracha. Okay, when does... few examples. One is, if you're drinking water but you're not thirsty, right? The simplest example is you have to take pills. You don't make a bracha on shahakol. Sometimes if you're trying to hydrate but you're not enjoying it and you don't really want to drink, you wouldn't make a bracha then. The other example, which doesn't come up for us that often, is tasting foods. If you taste the food, you don't have to make a bracha if you're not going to swallow. Okay, but generally speaking, bracha rishona has no minimum shear. Now, third line, where the cursor is, v'chein midivrei sofrim drabanan, livarech achar kol mashe yochal v'chol mashe yishtes. Similarly, you have to make a bracha achrona after any eating or drinking, on the condition that v'hu she yishte revi'it v'hu she yochal kizayit. There is a minimum shear for bracha achrona, and that's drinking the revi'is or eating a kizayis. Okay, so bracha rishona, anytime you eat or drink anything, make a bracha. Bracha achrona, you have to actually have drank a certain amount or eaten a certain amount in order to be chayiv in the bracha. Okay? Benching, of course, its own category. You have to have been satiated to be chayiv min haTorah. You have to have eaten the kizayis to be chayiv midrabanan. Okay? Those are the basic halachos. Now let's ask a different halachic question. What is benching when the Torah says, V'achal tov esavata uberachtas Hashem alokecha? Did Moshe Rabbeinu give us the text of benching? Did Moshe Rabbeinu tell us, you have to make three brachos? Right? When the Jews benched in the Midbar, did they all take out the bencher that said, wedding of Isaac and what? No. Right? What did they say? What was the text? So the Rambam tries to tell us. The Rambam in source number 4, Brachos, Perek Bet Halacha Aleph, says as follows. Seder Birkat HaMazon Kachi. This is how it goes. Rishona Birkat HaZan. The first bracha is, as we know, Hazara Takol. Shnia Birkat HaAretz. Ala Aretz V'ala Mazon. Shlishit Bonei Yerushalayim, or Bonei Brachma Yerushalayim, Amen. Revi'it Hatov V'Hametiv. So now, if I don't know anything, I'm looking at this Rambam and I'm asking myself, does he mean this as the definition of the mitzvah d'oraisa? So the answer is he can't. Why can't he? Because he includes the fourth bracha, Hatov V'Hametiv, and we all know that the fourth bracha is only drabanan. Okay, but now the Rambam goes further, and he tells us the history. Bracha Rishona Moshe Rabbeinu Tikna. Right? This is it. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the text. I assume he wrote the tune also. Hazan et ha'olam, right? That's the most popular song in Judaism. Don't argue with me. I looked it up. It's the most popular song in Judaism is benching. Okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the first bracha. Shnia tiken Yehoshua, shlishit tiken David u'Shlomo b'no, and revi'id chachmei Mishnah tiknua. Took all the way till the chachmei Mishnah, but leave out the fourth bracha. It means if we didn't have the text of the second bracha till Yehoshua ben Nun, if we didn't have the text of the third bracha till David and Shlomo, could the chiyuv d'oraisa be all three brachos? It's not exactly clear. There are those who argue that we had the three brachos. The exact text was only made up later. There are those who say no. Three brachos aren't d'oraisa, right? Thanking God is d'oraisa. And you could thank God in whatever language you want. This is very reminiscent of a different Rambam, but one that we all know. That Rambam has to do with the mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah, where the Rambam says there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven every day. And then he says very clearly, how many times, the text, how long, that's all drabanan. The mitzvah d'oraisa is to have an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some direct way once a day, Everything else is a detail. So you could similarly say with respect to benching, you could say the mitzvah d'oraisa is somehow, and there are gemaras that support this idea, right? To basically thank God for the food. Midirabanan, it was expanded to three different brachot with a particular text. I'll add one idea to that because it's a painful one. I sometimes think that we might be yotzei the mitzvah d'rabanan of tefillah, but not the mitzvah d'oraisa. And by that I mean, you know, how many times do we say all the words, but we don't have a genuine encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right? The Rambam says, it's the genuine encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's tefillah. You know, saying the hallelujahs, that's lovely. That's part of Pesukei Dezimra. But if you don't talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't relate to him, you haven't been yotzei the mitzvah. And I think sometimes we lose out on that. Right? Sometimes a person is sick. God forbid, a person's in the hospital. He's not going to say Shmona Esrei. He can't even say Shema. So he says, okay, I can't daven. No, but according to the Rambam, if he could focus for 5 seconds, if he could just say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu sincerely, you know, I know that you're God, and if you could help me, I'd really appreciate it. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Sometimes we're so machmir, you know, that what's davening? Oh, I have to say Baruch Shamar and Ashrei and Yishtav. No, you don't. Yeah, that's the mitzvah d'rabbanan, and I think we should do it. But we shouldn't lose track of the fact that midah oraisa, it's much less, but it requires a real focus, and it requires a real connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether you could say the same thing about benching or not is an open question. But it's certainly possible that we're supposed to, you know, actually relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some grateful way after we eat a meal. Okay, all the other stuff is drabanan. But we're supposed to at least think to ourselves, you know, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so much for, you know, the relation, the basic halachos of benching and the relationship between the d'oraisa and the rabbanon. I think, again, it's a model that we find all the time, which is the core is midrabbanon. The core is midoraisa. Then Chazal came and expanded on it. Now, to be clear, sometimes when Chazal expand on a mitzvah, if you don't do what they say, you didn't do the d'oraisa either. Okay? It's hard to tell whether that's the case here. Right? One thing I could tell you, the harachamans are not ma'akev. I'm not here to tell you to skip the harachamans, but, you know, if you only had enough focus to say the rest of benching, that would come first. Okay. Now let's get to the main point, even if we don't have that much time. The main point is, if benching is the only bracha that's min haTorah, this is the headquarters for the whole idea of brachos. And this is the place we should stop and ask ourselves a simple question. What do the words Baruch Atah Hashem mean? And how does it fit into, you know, the philosophy of Judaism, how does it fit into our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Okay? The conversation almost always starts with the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch on Mitzvah Taf Lamed, source number 5, is the Mitzvah of benching, and in it, the Sefer Achinuch takes a little bit of a philosophic detour to ask about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who he is, and therefore, what does a bracha mean? And he starts as follows. Source number 5. Mishar Sheh HaMitzvah Hakdama. Little introduction. He says, Halo hi gadata lecha b'ni b'mashe kadam. I already told you, my son, previously. I'll just say this because it's good to know. The Sefer Achinuch pretended, I believe he pretended, that he wrote his Sefer only for his son and for his son's friends to learn on Shabbos. Okay, I believe, and who cares, but it's my shir, so I get to say it, that the Sefer Achinuch was incredibly humble. Really the most humble person you ever met. How do I know? He is the only person who wrote a successful Sefer anonymously, who remains anonymous to this day. He really didn't want people to know. Mostly because he basically took the Rambam, rewrote it, put some other stuff in. It turned out to be incredible what he did. But he was very humble. I think he didn't want to sit down and tell everybody, hey, I wrote a sefer. So he pretended that he wrote a sefer. I never know if it's true or not. That's just what I think. Now he says, I've already told you, my son. Ki Lashem Baruch Hu Kol HaKavod V'Hahod V'Chol HaTov V'Chol HaChochma V'Chol HaYecholet V'Chol HaBracha. God is perfect in every way. God is omniscient, and he's omnipotent, and he's eternal. He's everything. V'divrei ben Adam v'chol ma'asehu. And the words of a human being, and the actions of a human being, im tov v'im ra, good or bad, lo yosif v'lo yigra. This is normative Judaism. This is the basic position. God is perfect. God exists on his own. We don't make God bigger. We don't make God smaller. We can't affect God. Al kein tzarich ata lahavchin. Now you have to distinguish. Ki bi'amreinu tamid bi'brachot. Baruch ata Hashem. What does it mean when we say Baruch ata Hashem? Oh, yitbarach, that God should be blessed. He says, ein hamashma'ut lefi hadomeh lahosif bracha b'mi she'einenu tzarich l'shum tosefet chalila. It can't mean that we're blessing God. Blessing God is offensive to God. God is perfect. Ki hu ha'adon al hakol. V'chol ha'brachot hu mechadesh otan u'mamtzion me'ayin. Right? God is the source of all blessings. It's like, you know, Jeff Bezos invited you to his wedding and you gave him cash. Okay? Either you understood the mashal or not. God can shower goodness wherever and whenever he wants. Says the Chinuch, therefore we have to ask ourselves, what's the bracha? And here's a hard one. V'lo notzi zmanenu b'masha ha'esek bo tamid mibli havana bo klal. Says the Chinuch, it's not good that we make 100 brachos a day and we don't know what it means. So let's figure out what he means. We know what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean we're blessing God, because that's not acceptable. Blessing God is an insult to God. Okay? It's a long piece in the Chinuch I skipped. Third line from the bottom. Va'achar haskama zo sheyodanu b'chiyuv meirov shleimut tuvo shechatzo laharik alinu b'birkato. Says the Chinuch. Okay, I'll explain what we missed. We've talked about it before. It's one of the great ideas in the Chinuch. The Chinuch says that God wants to be good to us. God wants to shower us with his blessings. But in order to merit God's blessings, we have to be good. Otherwise, the blessings don't attach to us. Okay? Masha lema davar doma, snow. I think Jackie mentioned this at the beginning, right? Everybody knows, despite the fact that we're supposed to be grown-ups, that when it snows, we think it's terrible when it doesn't stick. Because, you know, it should turn white. Why doesn't it stick? Because the ground is not cold enough. So sometimes you have a property that exists in the world, but it doesn't attach to something else. Says the Chinuch, God's goodness, metaphysically, there are like particles of goodness in the world. The better we are, the easier it is for God's goodness to attach to us. Okay? That's how God made the world. So he says, Nomar, She'inyan ha'bracha sha'anu omrim. So if that's true, the idea of the bracha that we make, Einenu rak hazkara la'orer nafshenu b'divrei pinu. It's to inspire us. Ki hu ha'mivorach u'mivorach yichlol kol ha'tovot. Because there's nothing we could give to God. So what's the purpose? But if we inspire ourselves, and we focus our minds to praise him or to thank him, when we acknowledge that all goodness flows from God, we merit God's blessing. What happens? When you go to take a drink of orange juice, if you actually stop before you drink and you remind yourself that you're benefiting from this orange juice because of God, right? It's as if you made yourself better. Your acknowledgement of God raises you up a level. V'nimtza, next paragraph, l'fi hanachat tam zeh, if this is true, sheyihyeh baruch to'ar. The word baruch is an adjective. Baruch ata Hashem means God who is the source of all blessings. God who is blessed. Kilomar, hoda'a elav ki hu kolel kol habrachot. It's simply an acknowledgement. It means God who is the source of all blessings. Okay? And he goes on and explains other words, but that's the simple pshat. Baruch atah Hashem does not mean, God, you should be blessed, or that we're blessing God. That is a philosophically offensive idea. What it means is, Baruch atah Hashem, God, you are the mekar habrachot. You are the source of all blessings. What's the benefit? The benefit is to us. The benefit is, if you actually stop, and let's face it, the difference between a good bracha and a bad bracha is a second, right? But if you actually stop, and you think before you drink or eat who the source of the food is, you raise yourself up. We raise ourselves up. We become more God-connected. Okay? That's the basic position. That's the chinuch. And almost everybody subscribes to something along those lines. Rabbeinu Bechaye picks up on the chinuch and uses this basic idea to explain a famous Gemara that we all know. First he says, Ki kol ha-mivarech, source number 6. Ki kol ha-mivarech ha-mashenehenah, a person who blesses from that which he benefits, who me'id al ha-hashkacha, he acknowledges God's providence, shehu yitaleh ha-mamsi mazon lishvalim kidei sheyichyu, that God provides food to us, to poor people, so that they can live. And now he explains, therefore, v'ha-nehenah ve'eino mivarech gozel mimenu, ha-hashkacha. Umusar hanhagat hashvalim lekochavim umazalot. I'll come back. Vizeu shenamar kol hanehenem min haolam hazeh b'lo bracha ki'ilu gozel lahakadosh baruch hu ulikneset Yisrael. The Gemara says, if you eat, if you benefit from this world without first blessing, it's as if you stole from God. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, what does it mean you stole from God? You didn't actually steal from God, but you stole a portion of God's providence. When you eat and drink and assume that the source is something other than God, that is basically attributing something that God did to somebody or some other force. And that's theft, because you're not stealing the object, but you're stealing the credit for the object. Right? That's like pretending that you gave a present that you didn't give. Right? So that's not acceptable. And the Gemara says that that's theft. Okay, great. That's Rabbeinu Bechaye. But the last two lines of Rabbeinu Bechaye opens us up to something that existed well before him. But he was the first person, I think, who kind of had the guts to write it. Here it comes. Va'al divrei ha-kabbalah. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, but there's something else going on in Kabbalah. Ubeirachta es Hashem Elokecha, ein habrachot sorech hediot bilvad. He was afraid to say it. He said, bracha is not just for our benefit. Right? The chinuch said, it's no, who gets benefit? It can't be God. God doesn't need our help. It must be us. He says, the Rabbeinu Bechaye says, in Kabbalah, that might not be true. V'gam eina hoda'a bilvad. It's also not just thanking God. Aval hu lashon tosefet v'ribuy. The Rabbeinu Bechaye says, no. Maybe it really is trying to add something to God. Okay, now, how could he possibly say such a thing, which is so obviously, you know, not true? Not only isn't it true, it's contrary to some basic ideas that we have about what it means to be God. So it turns out Rabbeinu Bechaye wasn't the first one to say this. And it turns out that the idea exists in mainstream Judaism, but it's dangerous and it has to be understood in context. So at some point in the next few minutes, I'm going to say something that's going to make some of you think that I'm a kofer, which may be true, but not for this reason. Okay, try to stay with me and try to be open-minded before you reject it. Here we go. It turns out the Ramban's been hinting at this for a long time. The Pasuk at the end of Sefer Shmos says as follows. We're building the Mishkan, and God says, V'yada'u ki ani Hashem Elokechem, asher hotseiti otam me'er Elokechem. I'm sorry. Asher hotseiti otam me'er Tzitzrayim, lishochni bitocham, ani Hashem Elokechem. Elokechem. What does it mean? I'm the God who took them out of Egypt. For what purpose? Lishachni bitocham. To dwell amongst them. Okay? The simple pshat in the pasuk, which in theory couldn't be, is that God had a benefit in taking us out of Egypt. The benefit being that God, whatever this means, wanted to live amongst us. Here's the Ramban. First, he quotes the Ibn Ezra and supports him. He says, Aval Rabbi Avraham Amar, ki lo hotseiti otam me'eretz Mitzrayim, rak ba'avur ki eshkon bitocham. That God had a reason for taking us out of Mitzrayim. And the reason was, whatever this means, that he wanted to dwell amongst us. I'll say it as sharply, God had a need. V'zehu ta'abduna ta'alokim al-haraza, that's why God wanted us to come to our Sinai. And the Ramban says, the Yafeh Piresh, he thinks the Ibn Ezra's right. And now he builds on it. And he says, V'im kein yesh bi'inyan sod gadol. The Ramban says, if this is the case, there is a great secret going on here. Ki kifi pshad hadavar, because according to the simple understanding, hashchina bi'Yisrael, Tzorech hedyot v'lo tzorech gavoa. That the Shekhinah, God's presence, he says, the simple understanding is that God's presence is to benefit us. It's tzorech hedyot, simple people. V'lo tzorech gavoa. It's not to fill a need of God, because presumably God has no needs. But I heard this the first time from my Rebbe, Rav Ezra Bick, who said basically, the Ramban couldn't bring himself to write what he really wanted to write, which is, this line is backwards. It was going to say, Hashchina b'Yisrael tzorech gavoa. But the Ramban couldn't write it because it's so revolutionary and it's so unacceptable. But he thinks it's true. And the Ramban has proofs. Aval hu ki'inyan she'amar katuv, Yisrael asher b'cha et po'er. Yishayo says, the Jewish people through whom God is glorified. It sounds like, you know, somehow when we're better, God is glorified through us, even though it shouldn't be the case. V'amar Yoshua, Yoshua says to God, Umata selishimcha agadol. If you wipe out the Jewish people, then your name will be sullied. They'll be bad. Upsukim rabim ba'ukain. Ramban says there's tons of psukim. The simple pshat sounds like that God has a need, or that somehow the Jewish people can positively impact God. Now, how can that be? Right? It's so, you know, it's so against, and it's so inconsistent with that with what we know. So I'll try to explain it in my words, but I can tell you that the idea exists in the writings of Rav Lichtenstein and certainly in the Rav. Let's do it this way. Sometimes there are relational ideas where you just, by definition, you need somebody else. I'll explain what I mean. You meet a person and he says to you, you know, he's a father. So at one point that would have meant that he has a wife, but okay, now it doesn't. But you say, okay, how many children do you have? So he says, oh, I don't have any children. So you feel terrible. How many did you have? They died. No, I never had any children. Well, you simply can't, the word doesn't work. You simply cannot be a father if you don't have children. Okay? Similarly, said in its simplest terms, what does it mean to be a king? What does it mean to be the Melech Malchei HaMelachim? So Chazal say in many places, Ein Melech Bilo Am. You can't be a king if you don't have subjects. So maybe just in the language, thus, not because he's not perfect in every way, but he can't be described as a Melech if he doesn't have subjects. So whatever it means, you know, whatever it means to be perfect, whatever it means to, you know, it's the limit of language. Yes, it's true. God could make a rock that's so heavy that he can't pick it up, because he could do anything and he could do opposite things. But maybe we can't understand how God can be a king without us, which means, to a certain extent, God needs us in order to be a melech. And Rav Soloveitchik said, and it's so fantastic, we say it all the time, we just don't think about it. Adon Olam Asher Malach, right? The master of the world who reigned, B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, before anybody existed, right? It's like right out of The Little Prince. It was just God, but he was the Melech without any subject. But Le'et Na'asa Bechevtso Kol, when it happened in his desire that the world came into being, Azai Melech Shimo Nikra, only then could he be described as a Melech, because only then were there people to worship God. So in that really, really narrow way, God needed us to exist. God needs us to exist. Otherwise, he wouldn't be the Melech. But it's not just, I want to suggest at least, and I've heard this from my Rebbeim, it's not just on a language level, it's not just definitional. Look at this next Ramban, in source number 9. The Ramban at the end of Bo, it's very famous. He says, Ulefikach Amru, Chazal say, Heve Zohir b'mitzvah kalok b'chamura, be careful of simple mitzvos and strict ones. Shekulan chamudot v'chavivot mo. God loves all the mitzvos. Why? Shebechol sha'a adam modeh bahen leilokav. Because any time you do a mitzvah, no matter how simple, anytime you make a bracha, it's an acknowledgement that God exists. Okay, great. Why does God need my acknowledgement? Says the Ramban. V'kavanat kol ha-mitzvot she-na'amin be'lokeinu. The whole purpose of all mitzvot is to show that we believe in God. V'nodeh elav shehu bra'anu. And acknowledge and thank him for creating us. V'hi Kavanat Hayitzira, says the Ramban, this is the purpose of creation. Stay with me. She'ein lanu ta'am acher b'yitzira harishona, because there is no other reason for the original creation. Ve'ein keil elyon chafetz batachtonim, and the God of the universe has no interest in us lowly, you know, inhabitants of the earth. Mi levad sheyeda ha'adam v'yodeh leilokav shibra'o. The Ramban says, God created us so that we could acknowledge him and we could thank him. It sounds like, in the Ramban, God needed us or wanted us to do something for him. And what is it? It's to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu more present in the world. Now let's be clear. He could make himself present in the world. Okay? It's this week's parsha. V'atah Yisrael ma Hashem elokecha dereish imrach ki'im li'ra'o to, etc., etc. Right? And the Gemara says, quoted by Rashi, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. Right? God controls everything except fear of heaven. And I think that's ridiculous. The easiest thing it is for God to control is fear of heaven. God could make me fear him in a second. What does it mean that God can't make me fear him? It means that God created a world in which God limited himself. And the limit is, God doesn't make us fear him. We have to do it ourselves. Of course he could have done it, but he didn't.
Hey, can I call you a guy's
right back? He could have, he chose not to. So having chosen not to, now he needs our help. Now, what does it mean to need our help? So let's finish by using familiar terms that I think we don't focus on enough. Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. Okay? Rav Amital Zatzal used to say that Kiddush Hashem literally means to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu more present in this world. It means we're impacting him, something we thought we couldn't do. Take just the simplest example, right? You're in Manhattan, you're wearing a yarmulke, and there's some old about to get run over by a car, and you run out into traffic and you save her life. Everybody looks at you and says, see what a Jew can do, and at that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more present in the world. And the opposite, God forbid, right? A Jew commits a crime, people read it in the newspaper, and they say, see what the Jews do? Rav Amital used to talk about the Holocaust, he was a Holocaust survivor, as being the biggest Chilul Hashem. What do you mean a Chilul Hashem? He said what it meant was, during the Holocaust, God's name was not respected. The God of the Jews was not respected. When the State of Israel was founded, the God of the Jews returned to the historical arena. People understood that the God of the Jews, you know, plays a role in this world. And so, for whatever reason, according to the second approach, when you make a bracha, when you have kavana, when you make a bracha, you make HaKadosh Baruch Hu more present. Right? The Kutzke, I'm not saying this is the pshat, the Kutzke Rebbe used to say, where is God? The answer is, wherever you let him in. Now, God has the key. He could break down the door. He doesn't need to be invited. But he chooses to run the world in a certain way. And according to this approach, a bracha really makes God more present. The idea that we can't impact God, the normative mainstream idea in Judaism, which is certainly true, there's a second part to it. And the second part to it, which is the part that's not really discussed because it's dangerous, but the second part allows us to have an impact on God in a way that we would have thought is not permitted otherwise. And the whole idea of a bracha, according to this, is simply to make God more present. And the more we have kavana when we make brachos, it's true. Baruch Atah Hashem, it's an adjective, as we said, right? Baruch Atah Hashem means God is the source of all bracha. But that whole idea that the chinuch thought was, couldn't possibly be entertained, it was entertained, it is entertained, and if we do it carefully, we could entertain it also. Now, I want to finish with an idea that I think is connected. I think it really is connected to what we've discussed, but if not, it's just a nice idea. Again, a pasuk from this week's parsha. Last source. The Gemara in Brachos, Chaf Amud Beis, tells the following story. Amru malachei asharet lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the malachim said to God, Ribono shel olam, katuv b'toratecha, this week's parsha. Asher lo yisafanim v'lo yikach shochad. You, God, cannot be bribed, and you don't play favorites. V'halo atano se panim l'Yisrael, but the Malachim said, but you favor the Jews. Dichtiv, yisa Hashem panav elecha. God favors us. Amar lohem, God says to them, v'chilo esa panim l'Yisrael. Could it be that I wouldn't favor the Jews? Shekatavti lohem bat Torah, v'yachalta v'savata uveirachta as Hashem alokecha. I said, you only have to bless God when you're satiated. But the Jews were machmir on themselves, even when they're not satiated, they still accepted upon themselves to bench. And I think to myself, that's the thing? There's so many drabanans, right? We light Hanukkah menorah, we read the Megillah, we do a gazillion things that God didn't command us to do. Why is it that specifically because we bench when we're not satiated, that forces God to favor us? And the answer, I think, is as follows. What does it mean to favor somebody? It means to always give that person the benefit of the doubt. Right? That's what favoritism is. You like this person, so whatever they say to you, you take it in the best possible way. Whatever they do, you understand the best possible way, right? That's why it's dangerous for a judge to do it. But that's what it means to favor. And I think Pshat is as follows. God says, people who choose to bless me, to thank me, when they're still hungry, right? I'm at the table. If you brought me another hamburger, I would eat it, right? I'm not really full. But he says, when the Jews establish that even when they're not full, they're going to thank me, what they're really saying is, right, they're going to favor me. What they're really saying is, they're going to give me the benefit of the doubt. What they're saying is, no,
God gave me one hamburger instead of two.
I'm going to thank him for the one hamburger, and I'm going to imagine that I'm full, even if I'm not. And so God says, it's midah keneged midah. If we're going to always give God the benefit of the doubt by benching, even when we're not full, then God has no choice. It's like he's forced to reciprocate, and he has to give us the benefit of the doubt. It's as simple as that. And what all this comes down to is my bottom line, which is, let's admit the following. There are two things that an Orthodox Jew tries to avoid. The first is getting fleishigs unnecessarily. The second is, sadly, benching. Well, if I eat that, I'll have to bench. What if the midah keneged midah is no? Why don't I eat that so that I could do a mitzvah d'oraisa? I know people in the yeshiva that I have the zchus to be part of who bench every day. Doesn't matter what they're eating. They're committed to benching every day. Why? Because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Because it's more important than almost anything else we can do. And I think the midah keneged midah, we never ever bench when we're not satiated. Right? Because we're all spoiled. If you're still hungry, so if there's no hamburger, right, you'll take a piece of cake. You'll have another piece of bread. We never get up from the table when we're still hungry. It just doesn't happen anymore. So our midah keneged midah won't be benching when we're not satiated. It would be benching when we could have gotten away with it. I could have eaten this meal, but you know what? I took a piece of bread and I washed. You know why? Because that way I could thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's true, right? Through a flaw in the halachic system, and by the way, I deeply believe that this is a flaw and Mashiach will fix it, right? We go, you know, and we have great big meals and we don't have to bench because we had rice and french fries and steak, you know, and brown. We didn't have to bench. That's a mistake. And the midah keneged midah that we ought to be fixing is, you know, we should stop trying to avoid it and we should start looking for ways to bench more. All right, out of time. Shabbat shalom to everybody. Don't quote me on any of this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ali. Thank you.
Yes, Shkaya. That's not good for your diet, Ali. Yes, shalom.
Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbat shalom.
Ellie, thank you. Good Shabbos.
How do you explain when we ask Hashem to do things for not for our sake, but for his sake?
I think that's the Ramban,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
L'shimcha gadol. Right. Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lama yomru Mitzrayim. Right. Bira'ahu tziyam la'rogatam beharim. I think, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care? I care what Egyptians say about me? The answer is, yeah, there's this deeper, you know, there's this undercurrent of somehow it does matter. I think that that's true. That's not for me to say, but in a bunch of places, the Rav talks about it, Rav Lichtenstein talks about it. It's buried in all these different Rambans. This idea that you understand why it's dangerous. You understand why you shouldn't, you know, you wouldn't talk to a kid about this. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is untouchable on some level. But on another level,